Thank you, Guy. Thank you, everyone. It's really a pleasure to be here. It's my first time at a HITS conference. And so I was told that you're all experts in quantum computing, so I can just jump to the really technical stuff. Good. So you might not have even heard of quantum computing. And if you had, you might have thought that the only relevance to the entertainment industry is that it's sort of science fiction-y. And it sounds cool. But actually, it's here. I think that's a fact that a lot of people don't realize. Quantum computing was thought of about 40 years ago. And back then, it sounded almost crazy. And it was only about 5 years ago that we realized how we could actually build them. And right now, there are literally billions of dollars being spent by companies like Google and IBM and Microsoft actually building them. So in this presentation, I'm going to spend a few minutes just telling you how important this will be to the entertainment industry and what it can do for you. So what is quantum computing, first of all? So normal computers, recall, work with something called bits, which are just ones and zeros. So everything on a normal computer, at the most basic level, is just a one or a zero. Quantum computers work with something called a quantum bit, or a qubit, it's sometimes called, and that's with a Q-U. And a qubit can be a one and a zero at the same time. And that sounds kind of crazy, but this is actually a picture of how a quantum computer thinks about things. Instead of a one or a zero, like this binary choice, it's actually more of a sphere, and it can be anywhere on the sphere. So the North Pole is like a one, and the South Pole is a zero, and you could happen to be at the North Pole or South Pole, but you're free to be anywhere in between. And so you can smoothly go between a zero and a one, and so it's sort of like you're both at the same time. And the reason that's so important is because it allows you to do two calculations at once. Now that may not seem so dramatic, but this is true for every qubit. So one qubit gives you two calculations at once, and two qubits gives you four calculations at once, and three qubits gives you eight at once, and so forth. So by the time you have 30 qubits, you're actually doing a billion calculations at once. And there's no reason to stop at 30. We're talking about building quantum computers with thousands or tens of thousands of qubits. So this is why they're so much more powerful than anything we could even hope to build with a normal computer. They really do exist. These are actual pictures of quantum processors being built right now. We know of at least 80 groups in the Western Hemisphere which are building them. Some of them are big companies like Google and IBM Microsoft, each of which has said this is their number one priority. There is nothing more important to them than building these. Some of them are startups. So I live in Berkeley, California. There's a few startups, including Rigetti. And then there's many academic groups building them. And they're all using different strategies. So if you ask me who is winning, I actually would say it's sort of like who's winning a marathon after 1 mile. I really wouldn't be able to tell you. They're using different strategies, but the race has begun. We now see that it's not just one new thing that we're inventing. It's actually many different classes of fields, and it will affect every area of science and technology. I could spend weeks talking about this. I would love to do that, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to focus on the two things which I think will be most relevant to the entertainment industry. And these will be machine learning and encryption and communication. So machine learning is something that we've heard a lot about today. And machine learning affects the entertainment industry in many different ways. If there's one thing that I would like you to know about quantum machine learning, it's that it's not simply machine learning but faster. It's actually a fundamentally different thing. It's based on a different mathematics. It's not based on probabilities. It's based on something called an amplitude or a vector. And it's much more sophisticated. So it should be able to identify patterns that we never would have been able to find otherwise. And I think the most relevance to the entertainment industry is actually going to be on AI involving image classification. And just to pick a very recent example, this is how they're filming a lot of movies right now, is that they're using real actors, but with some sort of facial recognition so that they can add the CGI on later. And there's a lot of machine learning and AI going on, and we could greatly enhance this. It's not something we could do today with a quantum computer, but I think in 5 years, this will actually have a huge effect on this type of technology. The second thing that I wanted to mention is encryption. And I know that there's been a lot of talk about how to protect your data, especially in light of certain recent events. And the reason that encryption usually works pretty well is because we don't send the sensitive data over the internet itself. We use a mathematical formula to send some version of the data, which is incomprehensible if you don't have the key. And hopefully it's only the other person that you're trying to send the data to that has the key on the other end. And the reason that this works pretty well is because the mathematical formula that you use is usually so complicated that a normal computer would never be able to crack it for practical purposes. And so that means maybe if you had like millions of years and you had a supercomputer or something, it could crack it. But of course, that's much more expensive than whatever credit card numbers or whatever you're trying to steal. And so for practical purposes, encryption usually works pretty well. Unfortunately, quantum computers change that, because the one thing that we've known about quantum computers ever since they were first thought of is that they're really good at hacking. So it turns out they're really good at solving the mathematical formula used for about 99% of encryption today. And we've known about this for a while, as I said. People weren't really concerned, because we didn't have quantum computers before. And so it was sort of a theoretical, kind of academic interest, in fact, but there was no practical consequence. Now people are freaking out. Government agencies and financial firms, they realize that this really is something that they need to think about right now. So this top, the top half of the slide shows the encryption methods being used by about 99% of online security, and these are all vulnerable to quantum computing hacking. So that should be kind of a wake-up call. The good news is that people have not been asleep about things on the cybersecurity front, and they've already been developing new formulas, which we believe are secure against quantum computing. And so on the bottom half of the screen are a few examples that people have started to develop. So again, they're encryption methods, they're just different mathematical formulas that we think are not vulnerable to quantum computing. We don't know precisely which encryption methods will be used, but whatever will be used, we know that it will involve some sort of new version of quantum security. And it's actually based on quantum physics. And so this is a quick graph of something called quantum entanglement. So this is actually something unique to quantum physics. There's no classical physics version of this. And it's that two quantum physics particles can be in the same state at the same time, even if they're separated. In fact, Einstein called this spooky action at a distance, because it's so mysterious. It's completely unintuitive for us. But it allows you to have completely secure communication, because if someone tries to observe it, even a little bit, even if they try to be really sneaky about it, it actually breaks the entanglement, and you can detect that. So there's this whole new generation of completely hack-proof security and communication that's being developed, and it's based on this technology called entanglement. This is actually something that our company is working on. If you're interested, please come up and see me later. And then of particular interest is actually watermarking. So watermarking, of course, has a lot of importance in the entertainment industry. You want to make sure that people don't, if you want to maybe transmit the information to a few select people, but you don't want them to send it to all of their friends. So you might add a visible watermark to discourage it, but you also might add some sort of invisible watermark, so that if it does happen, there's some sort of forensic evidence of what path it took. Whatever watermarking technique that you use, it actually has to involve random data, because you don't want people to know where the watermark is, otherwise they could undo it. And so it turns out that random data is something that a quantum computer is really good at generating. And so this would actually be able to help you with watermarking. So that's a very quick lightning review of quantum computing and the importance I think that it will have in the next few years in the entertainment industry. Thank you very much. Is there time for a question? Or I've answered all your questions, and you understand everything about quantum physics. Yes.
Oh. Hold on one second. Let me get a microphone over here. And I think the other challenge is nobody wants to look stupid when talking about quantum mechanics and computing. It's hard, right? You're in a very deep field of technology. Like, we're a lot of engineers and data nerds and whatnot, but that's a whole other level.
The Big Bang Theory was that it actually kind of brought it to people. I'm so sad that it's over now.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Sheldon. Oh, questions right here? Oh, wonderful.
He just called you Sheldon. My question was, in the beginning implementations of this, obviously with the large amount of research and development that's going into it cost-wise, how much more costly is it going to be to have these implementations?
Good. So right now, it's actually not really commercially available. I think IBM reluctantly sold one of their quantum computers for like $50 million or something, but they didn't really want to do that. The good news is you don't have to buy one yourself to use them. So a lot of them, like Google and IBM and Microsoft, are making their computers available. Some of them, they're making it available to developers, like our company, to write software for them. And they're also making it available to corporations to try out new ways of doing it. Right now, things aren't sophisticated enough that we would have like revolutionary results, but people are starting to write programs for quantum computers. And so it will take a few years to kind of bring it up to the speed of where normal computers are now, but people are starting to do this already. And as I mentioned, it's not simply a matter of taking normal software and then running it on a quantum computer. It has to be completely rewritten. The logic of programming for a quantum computer is completely different. So right now you can do it. It wouldn't cost huge amounts of money, is the good news. Yeah.
Time for one more. Ooh, oh, look at this. Huh? I put the challenge out here. I'm gonna stick with the first person that raised their hand, and also ladies first.
Hi, this was great. I've been thinking a lot about quantum computing and how it can impact or be related to object storage, and it scares me a little bit, and so I'm wondering about what you think about that, because with object storage is where the files split up, but along with MD5 for each of those parts, MD5 is imminently hackable, especially when quantum computing comes around. So what does that mean for everybody's files that will be stored in object storage, where, you know, like with quantum computing, you can easily go and change it, hack it, change the MD5 back, and
yep.
Nobody will even know.
It would, again, depend on exactly what encryption method you use. So the popular ones like RSA or AES are vulnerable to quantum computing. But the good news is that people have been developing new methods against that. So solutions do exist, is the good news.
You ready? All right. I would love to get to these questions.
I'll be around.
No, wait. I got two minutes. Come on. We run a tight ship here, right? I don't like leaving people hanging. This gentleman back here had a question. Hold on one second.
So along those lines, you just said that the quantum processors aren't commercially available, but that IBM and other companies are making that available kind of for rent.
Exactly.
So are there commercially available code that can crack what she's talking about so that there is a real threat now to the encryption that we're all relying on?
So good. No. So we believe that it will be about 10 years before quantum computers would be able to hack that, and the reason for this is because, so it depends on the key length that you use. So RSA right now is based on like 2048, so there's about 2,000 bits in the key. You need about twice that number of qubits to crack that. So you need about 4,000 qubits working perfectly, and right now Google has a 72-qubit machine, and they don't work perfectly. So it's not going to be tomorrow. It will be several years, assuming that people continue to work hard on this. But that's also assuming that nobody makes any progress on the hacking algorithm. Now that people realize that it actually could happen in the next few years, I think a lot of smart people will be working on this. They might be looking for more efficient ways to do it. So that number of 4,000 might come way down. Yeah.
All right, awesome, Mark. Thank you so much.
Great.
I'm sure we'll
see
more of you as quantum computing takes a strong hold.